It's a scripture I'd like to read with you this evening. The first one is in Genesis chapter 49. Now this is maybe a familiar portion to some of you. But Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. This is Jacob and he's blessing his sons. And he's come now to Judah. And verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Another portion in Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And then over into the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And we might read from verse 15. He, that's the Lord Jesus, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And a final portion, just a page over, in chapter 18, and verse 19. Again, I say unto you, this is the Lord speaking, again I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I like the way that the Amplified puts that set 20th verse. It puts it in this way. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And it emphasizes that the presence of deity is in the gathering of the two or three. What is upon my mind and what is upon my heart at this time is really the idea of fellowship. Now, it's not the fellowship between one another, but the fellowship I have in mind is the fellowship that we enjoy with the Lord. And I believe that until we really appreciate the joy of our fellowship with the Lord, that we will not fully appreciate the fellowship of an assembly. In fact, that sometimes the meetings of the assembly may seem to us like a chore. I've got to do it. It's not a pleasure. But once we come to that place where we enjoy the fellowship with the Lord, and we are moving in fellowship with the Lord, then the meetings of the assembly will not be a burden to us. They will be a joy to us. From the Word of God, we learn that it has always been God's desire that He might dwell amongst His people. Why? To enjoy fellowship with them. When we turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, in chapter 3, we find that God walked in the garden that He might fellowship with Adam, that He might enjoy that fellowship, that communion with Adam. And that fellowship was broken. In Acts chapter 7, and we had it read for us on Sunday, we find that it tells us that the God of glory appeared to Abraham. And Abraham was impressed with the fellowship that he could enjoy with the God of glory, and it marked his life from that point on. That wherever the Lord wanted him to go, he was prepared to go. Because he was moving, and he was conscious of this fact, that he was moving in fellowship with the Lord. And when we go on a little further on and we come into Exodus, we find that that God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt for one purpose. That he might enjoy fellowship with them. And in Exodus chapter 25, we read God is speaking and he says to them, and he instructs Moses that they would build a tabernacle that he might dwell or he might fellowship among them. It's God's desire to have personal fellowship with you day by day. And if we don't enjoy that personal fellowship from day to day, sometimes we might think that the meetings of the assembly drag because we're not in fellowship with the Lord. And you know, when we turn over to the New Testament and we come over to the book of Hebrews, we find that the writer of the Hebrews through the Spirit of God says, "Let us therefore go, let us go forth therefore unto Him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ without the camp." And you might think, and it causes me to think back in Exodus when Moses came to Pharaoh. And what did he say to Pharaoh? That we might go out 3 days into the wilderness, that we might go out beyond the camp to enjoy fellowship with our God, to sacrifice, to enjoy that fellowship. He desired that. And you know, when we think of today and the day in which we live, we think of the fact of believers gather in company. And yes, in that company, we can enjoy fellowship with one another. And we can enjoy fellowship with God. But truly, what is God looking for? What is the Lord looking for? He's looking for your fellowship and my fellowship. He wants that communion from your heart and from my heart. And you see, I read these four portions of scriptures in Genesis chapter 49. I see that that's a promise of fellowship. In Psalm chapter 50, we have a principle of fellowship. In Matthew chapter 16, we have a plan for fellowship. And in Matthew chapter 18, we have a presence in the fellowship. And that fellowship is important to you and to me if we are going to enjoy our spiritual well-being. I read that first passage, Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, and it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." In other words, Judah would be the principal tribe amongst the children of Israel. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Now that word Shiloh means the one who gives rest. The rest that comes from peace. And that peace is the peace of God that is in our heart the moment we trust Christ. It's speaking about the coming of the Messiah, coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that divine promise, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Unto him. And from that verse we learn that in a coming day, God, according to this promise, he's going to gather together his people unto Christ. But you know, this verse has a twofold application. First of all, in these words of Jacob to his son Joseph, Judah, we have an early promise of believers being gathered in fellowship. As we gather week by week, we have that privilege of fellowship with God. But second, really, that verse is looking forward to a coming day in the millennium when the Lord will set up His kingdom and all His people shall be gathered. Whether Jew or Gentile, they will be gathered unto Him. Jacob is speaking. He's speaking to his son Judah, and he's giving this promise. And you may remember that it's back in Genesis chapter 28 that Jacob began his walk of fellowship with God. And that chapter, he sees a heavenly vision. It's a ladder stretching up to heaven. And he sees, and as he looks upon that heavenly vision, he is aware of the fact that the angels of God are ascending and descending upon it. And he saw above that ladder, reaching up to heaven, he saw the Lord standing there. And really, he says, the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. And you know, I like to think of this, the idea is that I didn't know it is this. I did not appreciate it. Until now, I have not appreciated the presence of God. You see, Jacob had heard about God, glory from Abraham. And he had no doubt heard it from his father Isaac. But for the first time, he appreciated that the God of glory desired his fellowship. And I think of the fact that he says, this is a dreadful place. But I like another translation that says, this place is awesome. It is outstanding. It is something that I'll never forget. And we're not told much about Jacob's walk of fellowship with God from that moment on. But I believe that from the way God blessed him and from the words of his two wives, Leah and Rachel, when they said, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do it. That Jacob had been living all those years in fellowship with God based upon the promise of God. He looked at what God had said and he laid it up in his heart and he enjoyed fellowship with it. And they were not astonished when he came and he said, I have a word from the Lord. That God spoke to me. They weren't astonished at that. They expected it, that he would be talking to God. And so we see in this, and I believe that what we have here is pictured a man enjoying personal fellowship with God. And Jacob in those days, he didn't have a hall, a meeting to gather with. He didn't have a big gathering to gather in company with. Much of the time, he was off on his own, looking after the sheep, caring for them. And yet he walked in fellowship with God and he enjoyed that fellowship. But then we read in Psalm 50. This is a favorite verse of mine. I've enjoyed it for many, many years. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We have a divine principle in that verse. It's those that belong to the Lord. And why do they belong to the Lord? Because there is a sacrifice has been made for them. It's a principle that applied not only in the Old Testament, but it applies to us today. What's our sacrifice? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, what particularly impressed me is that approximately 600 years after Jacob's blessing of Judah. And here, David is outlining this divine principle. It is unto the Lord by sacrifice. You see, David grasped one thing. He grasped this important truth that his relationship with God would affect his relationship with the people of God. And it would affect his relationship with the tent of God's meeting. And so the first thing that David had upon his heart, that when he came into Jerusalem and he captured it, it was that he might have a place for the ark of the God of Jacob. That he might have a place for that God of glory. And David, as soon as that tent is erected and that ark is brought in, that David goes in and he sits before God and he says, "Who am I that thou hast blessed me so much?" And David appreciated this fact, that his fellowship with God was primary in his life. You see, a brother read that verse, and I really appreciate him reading that verse. I like that verse. It says that David was a man after God's own heart. He desired God's fellowship day by day. And as well, and you read through the Psalms, and if you read in the Psalms, you will find that David appreciated this as well about fellowship, his fellowship with the Lord. He appreciated this, that it was in the place where God had chosen to set his name that he could offer true worship. That he could fully enter into that fellowship when he was in the place where the Lord wanted him to be. And that would affect our lives as well. And as you read through the Psalms, you will find that David speaks often about the place that the Lord has chosen, the place where the Lord would desire that fellowship. And in Psalm 66, verse 13, he says, it's a place of worship. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. In Psalm 66, it's a place of worship. In Psalm 26, it's a place of affection. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. And in Psalm 61, he says, it's a place of trust. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. Then Psalm 63, he says, it's a place of revelation. That I might see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And David, as he went into the place where God had placed his name, he wanted to have another revelation of the person that he held so dear. In Psalm 65 and verse 4, he says it's a place of blessing. He says, we shall be satisfied with the blessings and the beauties of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And then in chapter 68 of the Psalms, he says, it's a place of the divine presence. And it says, we have seen thy leadings, O God, even the leadings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. And then in Psalm 122, verse 1, he says, it's a place of joy. It's a place of joy. My fellowship with God brings me joy. And he says in that verse, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Because he did, to go into the God's presence, to enjoy fellowship with God, brought him joy, brought him happiness. And then we come down to that verse, Matthew chapter 16. And we look through those verses and it says, "Thou art the Christ." You see, God had said to Peter and the other disciples, he said to all the disciples, he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And what impresses me again is the fact that fellowship is personal. Fellowship with God is in your heart. It's personal with you. Are you day by day enjoying fellowship with God? See, he says to Peter, he says to the disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who have you been what have you been telling the people about me? And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ." You think of what that is. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Christ." And this was a declaration that Jesus was a fulfillment of all God's promises through the Old Testament. When he used that word, the Christ, the Messiah, "You're the Messiah," he was saying, "You fulfill every promise that God gave. You're the fulfillment of the seed of the woman from Genesis 3. You're the fulfillment of that seed that will bless all the nations from Genesis chapter 12. You're that prophet that should come from Deuteronomy chapter 18. You're David's greater son from 2 Samuel chapter 7. You're God's perfect servant from Isaiah 42. And you're God's perfect sacrifice from Isaiah 53. And so he was saying, "Thou art the Christ." He goes on and he says, "The Son of the living God." And this is really a declaration of his deity. You are divine. You are God. And it goes on in that verse and he says the title, "The Living God," identifies him as the one who inhabits eternity. So he says, saying unto him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the God of eternity." You've always been. And is it any wonder that the Lord speaking to Peter could say, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." It was a divine revelation to him. And the Lord had in mind his fellowship, that he might enjoy his fellowship. And the Lord says to him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now there's been lots of controversy, lots of discussions about it. But what did he mean? And we can say, well, Peter, that name means a stone. And a rock that the Lord referred to is a different word. And it means a foundation or a cornerstone. And the Apostle Peter himself explains that, what the Lord was talking about when he comes to his epistle. And when he comes to his second epistle, he seeks to explain that and he says, all believers are living stones being built into a spiritual house. He says, I'm a stone in that house. And every one of you are stones in that house. He says, we are stones being built into a spiritual house. But he goes on in that chapter and he says, but Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. And to those who believe, he's precious. But those who don't believe, they'll stumble at him. And they will be offended at him. And the Lord goes on and he says, and upon this, upon this I will build my church. What is it that he's saying, upon this I'll build my church? He's talking about that Peter's confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think the Apostle Paul, he's picked it up in Romans, and he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the cornerstone. That's the what we need to confess for our salvation. It's upon this confession that the Lord is going to build his church. There has to come to some has to come a point in our lives when we recognize this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And upon that confession, whether we use those words, exact words or not, it's upon our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are added to the Lord's church. And he says, I will build out my church. What is he doing? He's calling out a people out of the world that he might enjoy fellowship with them. He desires your fellowship day by day. But then we come over to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 particularly. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that's the promise of the divine presence. And that's interestingly that this is approximately 600 years after David recorded Psalm 50. So that it seemed interesting to me that about 600 years after Jacob gave that promise, David has recorded Psalm 50. And about 600 years afterwards, the Lord gives this promise. There I am in the midst. It would suggest, in my name, that word, those words in my name would suggest that in some measure there is a recognition of the glory of Christ. Now, the moment that we were saved, we may not have fully understood the glory that belongs unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may not have appreciated it. But as the years go by, we begin to appreciate more and more of the glories that belong to him. If we read through the Psalms, we again are introduced to his glories. Psalm 1, we're introduced to his moral glories. He is that one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In Psalm 2, we are introduced to his official glories. Sit thou on my right hand. And you see, as we mature in our faith, the glories of Christ will become more and more important to him. And so when you say that, gathered together in my name, there's an appreciation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in some measure. Because as the years go by, we will learn more and more. And you know, in this life, we will never fully grasp all the glories of Christ. Because when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And so it's throughout all eternity, God is going to be displaying for us his glories and the glories of Christ. But you know, in this day in which we live, we can enjoy those glories as we enjoy fellowship with him day by day. Our brother is speaking to us on Sundays about Abraham. He's spoken a little bit about Abraham's call. Abraham didn't appreciate everything about God when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he didn't appreciate all there was about God when he went into the land of Canaan. But he appreciated more about God when we come to Genesis chapter 22, when he takes Isaac up that mount. You see, he was learning more and more and more about the glories of God. How was he learning it? He was learning it in fellowship with God. Fellowship, if you're going to enjoy fellowship with God, it's going to mean that you're going to be communing with Him. It's going to mean that you're talking to Him. And it doesn't have to be long, long prayers. But you're going to be in a habit of talking to God. That it's going to be like talking to a friend. You see, it says of Abraham that he was a friend of God. And that, to me, means that Abraham, day by day, walked in fellowship with God. He talked to God every day. And he listened for what God had to say to him. And as you read through Genesis and at a period of 75 years, you will find that God only spoke to him, or it's only recorded 7 times when God spoke to Abraham. And yet I believe that throughout all of that 75 years in the land of Canaan, Abraham spoke to God and God revealed things to him. When we looked at, and I mentioned about David, David had a heart after God. And God's, he walked in fellowship with God. He communed with God. God showed him things. Did he always tell him words of scriptures? No, if we look up, we look at Psalm 8, we see David and he's looking at the heavens and the stars. When I consider the heavens and the stars, what is man? God has spoken to him. And in another psalm, he speaks about the lightning and the thunder coming down, and he speaks about God. And God is revealing something of himself, of his character to David. And he's enjoying that. And he's enjoying that fellowship. And you know, really, what has been on my mind this evening is the fact that we need in our own hearts to enjoy fellowship with God. If we enjoy fellowship with the Lord, we will have much greater fellowship with one another. The meetings of the assembly will be more sweeter to us. We'll desire to be there. But it depends on how much fellowship I have with God. Do I talk to God? Or is He a stranger? You see, for a believer, he's only supposed to be a stranger to the world. The world is to be strange to you, and you are to be strange to the world. But to God, you're to be a companion. Speak to Him. And listen to what He has to say. And sometimes He'll speak through nature. Sometimes He'll speak through another individual. And sometimes He'll speak as you're reading His Word. But He will speak to you day by day if you listen. And if you're ready to commune with Him.